of God. And so there's a tremendous outflow of what God does by his Spirit in our lives and is witnessed over time. The Bible says that he transforms us from glory to glory. Can you say amen? That he doesn't, you know, we have a lot of issues. He doesn't show us all the issues at once. He'll help us in this area, and then this area, then this area, and then this area, and the next, and the next, and the next. And you're the same person, but you're different. That person is different than that person. Can you say amen? And it feels good to be free. Amen. I gave my life to the Lord in September 28, 1997. For 2 years, I struggled deeply. I wrestled with lots of things. The Holy Spirit met with me, broke the chains in my life. And when I say it feels good to be free, it feels good to be free. Can you say amen? No chains, no shackles. You got dominion in your mind. Can you say amen? You could just, you know, the devil say do this, and you're like, man, you ain't got nothing on me. Right, a temptation will come, a battle will come, a trial will come, has no power over you anymore. Perhaps tonight, the devil still has power over you tonight. I'm believing for mighty deliverances tonight. God will touch your mind. He'll put your mind on straight. These are not empty words. I'm talking about my God, the one that delivered me. He'll set your mind straight. He'll deliver you from whatever you got going on in your life. And so... part of this, I'm speaking to those that are not yet rooted in Christ, but then I'm also speaking to my brethren, those that are already in Christ. You have a powerful story. If you're in Christ, you have a powerful story that needs to be shared with other people. Hallelujah. And so let's go to Philippians chapter 1 if you have a Bible. Philippians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul is, amen. Apostle Paul in jail in a Roman prison, and he is writing to those who he had begotten in the gospel. And we're going to begin in verse 3, Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. If you're there, say amen. Hallelujah. So I'm going to preach, and then we're going to leave God for the supernatural tonight. The word of God, verse 3, this is Paul. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Let's call on the Lord right now as one people, unified in spirit. Oh God, we come tonight. We're asking you, Lord, to have a free course in this place. Let it be by your anointing that yokes are broken. Let your spirit, God, be upon your servant. We block right away every opposing spirit, every opposition that comes from the wicked one and that wants to keep eyes blind and ears unable to hear. We ask you to pierce through all of that. Let your marvelous gospel shine through, we pray, in Jesus' name. And the people of God shout, amen and amen. So let's talk about looking what the Lord has done. Amen. So we have the Apostle Paul. He's giving a perspective in the midst of prison. I've only been a juvenile for about an hour, and that was enough for me. Amen. But he has a perspective. Amen. He's in literal chains. He's unjustly in that place. Amen. But he's still focused on encouraging other people. Amen. Every church needs people that will encourage others. Can you say amen? Where are the Barnabases in this church? Where are the people that encourage others here? Can you say amen? He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer, my maker request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. He's remembering them with a tender care. I remember how it was when we first met. I remember how it was when you first got saved. I remember how you were in that first moment. From that moment until now in my place of suffering, amen. And despite a situation, he wasn't bitter. We go through one thing, bitterness overtakes our heart and our minds. But yet he's thankful, amen, and he's remembering their faithfulness, and he's filled with joy, hallelujah. And I challenge you to never forget where God has brought you from. Can you say amen? Never forget from what God has delivered you, amen, even in the midst of trials. And so what you must understand, if you're in Christ and God has touched you, you are a miraculous work. Amen. You are a miracle. And what we don't understand many times is that our story, our personal stories are powerful. You say, well, God didn't really do much in my life, and I wasn't that bad. Amen. But that's the wrong perspective. Amen. Because salvation in itself is a miracle. Hallelujah. And so whether you're saved from deep darkness or religious ruts, salvation is supernatural. Some of us were bound by addiction. We saw, right as we drove up to the church, we saw some young men doing a line of coke right outside of the church. People were bound by different kinds of vices. Amen. Amen. Others are bound by bitterness and pride. Amen. That's a bondage too. Amen. You're bitter, frowned up all the time. You're prideful, resentful. Amen. Maybe you used to be a potty mouth. Amen. You got preachers cussing in the pulpit today. Amen. I used to be the worst cusser back in the day. Seriously. If you crossed me, I was going to make a cuss word for you. Let me tell you. It was my defense mechanism. Amen. You look up cuss word in the Bible, you probably have my name in there. I had one just for you. Don't cross me. Amen. Amen. You know, maybe you were prejudiced. Amen. Maybe you had a little bit of prejudice or racism inside of your heart. That's a big issue. Amen. Often it's said that the most divided times are Sunday mornings when all this race is there and they're there and they're there. Everybody's separate. My pastor, amen, that passed away, Barry Parker, wonderful man of God. He was a racist. Amen. He's a white guy. Amen. I'm black. Amen. But God saved him, and then he started calling me his son. He said, you my son. Amen. That's a miracle. I mean, that's a miracle. Hallelujah. And so God doesn't just save us, but he changes us. That's a plus. Can you say amen? See, people say, oh, I'm saved, but yet you're not changed. Amen. Well, I got religion in church, but you're still the same. He'll save us, and then he'll change us. Can you say amen? There's that song we sing, Look What the Lord Has Done. You guys sing that here? You got, Look What the Lord Has Done. Y'all sing that? Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He's Justin. Okay, maybe not. Amen. Oh, we sing that song. Amen. Look what the Lord has done. He'll touch your mind. He'll heal your body. Can you say amen? And we were all once broken, and he turns us into a blessing. You thought you'd never change. You're saying that right now. You say, I can never change. I've been to church 1,000 times. They've invited me. Things have just been like they've always been. Mark 5, amen, we're not going to read, but this is the story of the Gadarene demoniac. This is a man who, the Bible says, had a legion of demons. Some people don't believe in supernatural. They don't believe in, you know, demons and spirits and all these things, powers and principalities. The Bible, it talks about unclean spirits, demonic spirits. This man, the Bible says, would walk around naked. He would cut himself. You know, it's not normal to cut yourself. People, you got cutters today. You know, it's like people, why are you cutting yourself? That's not normal. That's a demon spirit. Amen. You say, well, I'm just cutting myself because I feel depressed. No, you're dealing with a demon spirit is what you're dealing with. Amen. He was walking around naked. Amen. The people tried to help him. Amen. They did everything possible. They put physical chains on this man, and nothing they did was able to bring deliverance to his life. But with one touch of Jesus, everybody say, one touch of Jesus, all that changed. Hallelujah. That impossibility, amen, was removed. And his story is how the impossible is made possible. This is our story if we're in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I like how the New Living Translation says it. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun, which means that you're not who you used to be. You're not who they said you'd always be, unless you just have religion. That's just your fig leaves, your clothes, how you cover yourself up religiously. You profess Christ or you identify as a believer, but there's no transformation. This baffles me, amen, how you can be in Christianity, supposedly in Christ, 1 year, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, 10, 15 years, and you're still, when people look at your life, they say, well, you're still that same person. And so who wants to give glory with God with me tonight? Anybody want to give glory to God? See, we think we give glory to God just by coming to church. Well, I went to church. It's good to go to church. Or I gave in the offering. It's good to give in the offering. But really, it means to bear the reproach of Christ. Amen. Amen. Christ was rejected. Amen. He was righteous in every way. Amen. But people, for some reason, they didn't want Christ. Amen. And to truly give glory to God, amen, is to identify with Christ and sometimes to even become the conversation of derision just because you follow after Jesus. People will look at you a different way if you truly follow Jesus. People say, oh, you know, you're a holy holer. They'll start looking at you in a different way if you are real, really following Jesus. Amen. And so I want to focus tonight on the power of your testimony. One of the things that brought Paul comfort and strength, amen, is that he knew that his labor wasn't in vain. Amen. The transformation in others brought him comfort in his suffering. You know, I pastored for a long time, amen, and one of the things, you know, that would give me comfort and make it all worth it. You see a brother or sister, somebody who was not in Christ, amen, God transformed them, and you look and you see, I mean, they're still faithful. Amen. They're still holding in and holding. They're still fighting the good fight. It gives you such a joy. Amen. It makes it all worth it, doesn't it, Pastor? Amen. And so he was grateful for the testimony of their changed lives. I remember you from the first day until now. And so this means that your story matters and your deliverance can encourage somebody else. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God was able to change Paul, a Christian persecutor. He was able to change me. Hallelujah. He's able to change you. Can you say amen? Let's talk about the power of the testimony. Let's deal with a couple of issues. And the first is that of silence and shame when it comes to your story. Many Christians today don't know what God has done in their lives. Maybe they said, I grew up as a Christian. I was born a Christian. My parents were, you know, my grandparents, so I have a Christian background. You talk to many, you do a simple survey. They can't tell you what God has done in their lives. Or they do know what God has done, but they're too afraid or too ashamed, amen, to share that. Amen. Now, we can all be honest that there is a sense of shame when we look at our past lives, isn't it? He said, man, I cannot believe I used to do that. I can't believe I used to walk that way. Golly, because God begins to set your mind straight. Amen. You say, when you begin to look it from God's point of view, and you say, man, that was way left field. And there is a sense of shame. Amen. That's accompanied with those things. Hallelujah. Amen. But on another level, which is a demonic strategy, there is an intimidation, amen, that the devil wants to bring against you, and there is the testimony that he does not want you to tell. Listen to me. You begin to share your faith or share your story, and there is an intimidation that overcomes you. I'm talking about your real story. I don't know if I could do that. I don't know. And then the devil wants you just to share the cool parts, if there's any cool parts. But he doesn't want you to share, amen, the other parts. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This scripture applies everywhere. Amen. Every person in every nation, every country, amen, can find themselves somewhere on this list. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. And it begins with a question. And questions are good because it forces a response from our hearts. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Amen. And then it begins to say, do not be deceived. Amen. Because we can deceive ourselves, and we need to understand what it means to be righteous or unrighteous. He says, neither fornicators, amen, people that have sexual relations and they're not married, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Very interesting. The first sins that are on that list are dealing with sexual sins. Amen. Not only in times past, but even today, you have all kind of sexual sin, free love, if you will. Oh, we're just living together. You know, we're going to get married, you know, in 5 years. But you're shacking up. Men and women have problems with pornography. Amen. Men and women go to strip clubs. You know, he's dealing with all kinds of sins. You know, fornication and adultery and idolatry. He's dealing with homosexuality, lesbianism. In our world today, if you want to be a man and you're a woman, you know, they say, well, identify as that. Nobody can say anything different. Hallelujah. But here is the most important thing. And such were some of you, but you were washed. And this is by the atoning blood of Jesus. Can you say amen? You were sanctified. Amen. God says, that was you, but now I'm going to set you apart for my purposes. Can you say amen? And you were justified, though you are guilty. You did it. You live that way. Now, in God's courtroom, you're declared innocent. Amen. Thank God that we can be declared innocent tonight. Hallelujah. And every believer starts somewhere. And every believer, amen, deals with some kind of sin that they need deliverance from in life. So there's the problem of silence and shame and intimidation, but there's also the issue of testimony censorship. Amen. I was warned, quote unquote warned, don't share certain parts of your testimony so that it won't hurt your ministry. I wouldn't want people to label you. You know, it's okay to tell them that you used to be a liar. Is it okay that you used to be a liar? You used to lie about everything all the time? Hey, that is cool. That, man, back in the day, I was a rolling stone. Man, I had all them girls back in the day. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You know, but the more embarrassing parts or the ugly parts, you just want to make sure you keep all that underneath the carpet because that's not their business. And I've learned a secret in my own life. I've been very fruitful in ministry. I'm not toot my own horn, but I have lots of fruit in ministry, working with people, connecting with people in my own life. And part of that is, it's not a secret, but in my own self, when I am vulnerable with people, they're more vulnerable with me. When I'm transparent with people, then they're transparent. Amen. Well, this is what I was going through. And then they put their defenses down. Because then they're saying, man, that's a real person right there. Kind of said it last night. People don't just need an invitation to church. They need your real story, don't they? Isn't that what people need? People need your real story. Hallelujah. And so my testimony is one from religion to relationship with God, from perversion to deliverance. And I declare if God was able to save me, he's able to save you. I was raised in a Muslim background. You know, being raised as a Muslim in the United States is different than if you were in perhaps a different nation and with different laws. But my father was, we were a devout Muslim family. My father was an imam. We did all the five prayers every day. We followed the month of Ramadan. Amen. There were certain traditions that we kept at certain times of the year according to tradition. Amen. We did all the fasting. We held to the dietary restrictions. We didn't eat pork. You know, I mean, I eat a little pork today, you know. Hallelujah. I remember the first time I tasted some soup or some, you know, some chitlins, okay? Anybody know what chitlins are? I tasted just a little bit of chitlin juice. I don't know if you know what that is, okay. Hey, I tasted a little bit of chitlin juice, and I thought I had just committed the worst sin in the whole world, I'm telling you. Amen. My father, you know, but, you know, we looked at God as a very distant God. In Christianity, amen, God, you can know God is knowable. And in Islam, God is very distant. It's some God that's out there. You can really have no relationship with him. My father was raised as Christian, but he converted from Christianity to Islam because he saw hypocrisy in the Christian church. And I always tell him, I say, Dad, just because people are living wrong doesn't negate the fact that God is who he says he is. But that still means that we need to live how we're supposed to be living. Can you say amen? So my mom and dad, they get married in a Baptist church there in Louisiana, Shreveport, Louisiana. Shortly after that, you have one of the deacons, like a Bible study leader, some leader in the church. He begins to make a pass at my mama. You know, I wasn't even born yet. Amen. He makes a pass at, ooh, hot mama, foxy lady, you know. And my dad's like, man, these Christians are wicked. He says, I will never, ever go to a Christian church again for as long as I lived. And he left Christianity for a false religion. We grew up with abuse and trauma. There was lots of domestic violence. Part of that was what I would consider a generational curse. My father, I asked, we had many conversations throughout the years. He said, well, I used to see my father beat my mother, and so that's just kind of how I handle things. Amen. Now, I know there's no domestic violence going on in here. Amen. I know no men hit their wives in this place. Amen. I know no women hit their husbands either. Amen. Hey, because women are vicious too, amen, and they think they can get away with it. I'm not saying anyone is right, but there shouldn't be any hitting like that going on. Can you say amen? But also, he was taught religiously by his Muslim teachers to, if you want your wife to submit, then you are to beat her. That was a religious doctrine that was taught. Okay, aren't you glad that we don't teach that you're supposed to beat your wives in the Christian church? Can you say amen? He said, amen. I mean, I might end up, you know, being a homicide. There were constant death threats. My father would say, you know, if you call the police, I'm going to kill her. I remember being 5 years old, 6 years old, you know, and I'm just there and, you know, I'm listening at the wall. We always lived in constant fear. I'm there, and he says, if you call the police, I'm going to kill her. I remember we were, after one holiday, we're at home, and so I went to take a nap. My older sister woke me up, and she said, Daddy's beating Mama again, and, you know, yeah, I'm not going to get into it because it takes me back too much. But, and so we all bust through the door. We're like the Brady Bunch, three boys and three girls. We broke into that door. We all jumped on my father. My father was strong, throwing us off. He's choking my older brother. And his eyes are bulging, and I just begin pleading with my dad. I'm like, Daddy, please, Daddy, please, Daddy, would you stop? And from that moment, basically, we kind of skipped out. We went to school the next day, and then we basically fled and start living in another home. Amen. But we began being liars. Amen. I would lie about the abuse. CPS would call me from school, and they would ask, you know, did your father do this or did he do that? And I would always put a lie there. I would say, I spent the night at my cousin's house, or I was in the backyard playing. And I knew exactly what had happened, but I didn't want to say it. I didn't know what to say. My father would pit me against my siblings because they would say he did it, but I would always deny it. Had lots of words spoken over my life. I mean, the words have power. All my teachers would say, one day you're going to be a star. You're going to be a star. You're going to be doing Disney. you're going to be doing commercials and all these things. And I was like, man, yay. Or you're going to be successful. Or you're going to be, my mother would always say, you're going to college. I don't know how you're getting there, but you're going to go one of these days. And guess what? If mama said it, by golly, I'm going to do it. I remember all of my siblings, when I was a little kid, all my siblings, people at school, they would call me Tinkerbell. They would call me Tinkerbell. They'd say, Tinkerbell, Tinkerbell. They'd say, you look like you got sugar in your tank. You know, they say all these kinds of things. And my dad, one day he called all of my siblings and my cousins. He said, I want y'all to come in here, and I want you to walk in a circle. And keep walking in this circle. You're walking like faggots, is what he would say. And so he would have us walking in a circle. You got six or seven. You got brothers and cousins. We're all walking in a circle, and one by one, everybody's just kind of, they're going their way, doing their thing. And lo and behold, I'm the last person still walking in a circle. And I'm like, can I go? He said, no, you're still walking like a faggot. And I don't know how I was walking. Maybe I was doing this or something. I don't know how I was walking. Amen. But, amen, there was lots of humiliation growing up as a kid. Amen. I began acting out early with sexual activity. By fifth grade, I'm already trying to have girlfriends and sneak over to their house. I'm 10 and 11 years old, as a little kid, sneaking to my girlfriend's house. Just imagine that. Even young kids are doing those kinds of things. Amen. We were broken. We siblings all started selling drugs and using drugs. I began acting out more and more sexually to prove I wasn't gay. I remember we were living in Austin, Texas at the time, and I was a great athlete, doing very well in sports. We had football film at the school, and so, on Saturday morning, you go watch the film, and I wanted to see what I was doing on the highlights, and on this particular time, I'm looking at the screen, and I'm like, where am I on the field? And I looked on the sideline, and there I was. I saw a boy that was standing kind of like a girl, and I said, man, that guy's standing like a girl. And then I said, oh, my God, that's me. And I had no idea. But from that moment, I said, I'm going to walk as straight as I can, I'm going to walk, All the girls threw themselves at me. I was a great athlete. End up getting my girlfriend pregnant in high school. We end up having an abortion because I didn't want to mess up my scholarship. I didn't like her parents. They were goofy. I didn't want my kid to come out like their family. I was just a selfish, little, nasty kid who was respected by many. On the outside, everybody loved me. They thought, oh, wow, he's the model kid, but yet I really wasn't. Beginning of college years, it was full rebellion. Amen. I received a scholarship, University of Texas in Austin there, doing very well. I started living a double life. When your children go away to college, we talk about autonomy, amen. They're no longer governed by their parents, even in high school many times. You know, and so there's nobody to control what they're doing. Isn't that right? They're just, you just, they just over there. You don't know what they're doing. You're hoping they're living right. I started going to the clubs. I started drinking. I wasn't a drinker. I wasn't a weed smoker. I started trying weed. I started stripping for money. I started having orgies, swing couples. I started having homosexual relationships. I started giving myself to every number of sin. Anything that was out there, I began tasting it and giving myself to it. In my inner self, I didn't want that, but yet there was still a bondage that was there. Began destroying relationship with my friends. I would, you know, tell them one thing, but really I was doing another thing. And so my friends are like, no, man, you're not the same anymore. What happened to you? What's wrong with you? Relationships began to be severed. Today, as I mentioned, you know, homosexual marriage is legal. Amen. There was actually a man that proposed to marry me in the 90s. And I said, I don't want to do that. I know that's not right. Even though we were participating in that, I knew in my spirit that that wasn't right. So I got on the phone one day when I had accepted that I couldn't change. And so I called my mother on the phone. And, you know, if you tell your mother something, you know, it doesn't matter who knows. Can you say, man? I called Mama. I said, Mama, I need you to come by the house. I got something to tell you. And she said, no, I can't come by because traffic's bad. And, you know, and so I begged her to come to the house. And so she finally comes to the house. And as soon as she gets there, I'm talking to her. And I said, Mama, and she didn't even let the words come out of my mouth. She said, but you don't have to be. And she said, I've been praying for you ever since you've been a little boy. And at that moment, I just broke even more because I said, my mother not one time spoke evil on my life. Can you say amen? She never put that on me. Amen. But yes, she says, I've been praying for you your entire life. Listen. This is very appropriate for the times that we're living in. It's very appropriate at any time. Amen. You have the religious war, Christians, Muslims. You got, you know, biblical prophecies, all the different things. It's the faith of Al-Islam is on the rise. People are looking to Allah these days and these times. And then you have the sexual freedom that we're living today. The world is trying to turn you out. And he's trying to turn your children out and your grandchildren. And he's trying to turn the whole world out. Can you say amen? Amen. And I don't know. I don't know your life, what you've been through. Amen. But God is able to transform and help you tonight. Can you say amen? And so she said, I've been praying for you ever since you've been a little boy. And so I began, you know, thinking. I said, well, where does that come from? Where does an effeminate spirit come from? Where does lesbianism, homosexuality, is it something that you choose? There's this whole argument that people say, well, you chose that. That's what you chose. Or you were born with it. I don't know where it came from, but all I do know that is that every perversion or whatever is out of line with the word of God, God is able to bring it in alignment with his will. Can you say amen? So we're not talking about how you got hooked on what you're hooked on or why you're bound by what you're bound by, but we're talking about God is able to help you tonight. Can you say amen? And so I was a Christian. I had gotten saved. I was making decisions. I was in a big church, a big Baptist church, big community. I didn't have a big church with no community. There was no real relationships. That's just my experience as I was there. I was trying to serve God. I was making good decisions. I was living righteously. Amen. For the most part. Amen. But Easter Sunday, 1999, is when I first got filled with the Holy Spirit. And that made all the difference in my life when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. I had already believed on Christ. I was walking with the Lord. I was kind of wobbling in my walk. But when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, that's when a whole shift came. in a Baptist church. They don't even speak in tongues in that church. Amen. My uncle was preaching. Amen. And he was talking about Jesus and the resurrection and that Jesus had been crucified. And he preached with so much passion that Jesus died and rose again. And I was sitting in the pew, probably sitting right in this seat right there, in that pew right there, right there. And that moment, for the first time, I truly saw that I was in sin before God. Before that, I had gone to church, had prayed prayers, this and that. But at that moment, as he was preaching, I recognized for the first time that I was a sinner. And I began speaking in tongues and wailing and weeping. I don't know if demons were coming out. I remember, I was speaking in tongues, and the whole church, they were looking at me. They tried to comfort me, and God said, he said, you're living in sin, son. And from that moment, hallelujah, God began removing all those negative influences from my life. Thank God. Those people that say, hey, come, let's go do this. It's all right. Come, let's do this. You know, you got some friends in your life that want to tell you, hey, let's go do this. It ain't right. You know it ain't right. God began removing all of those suches in my life. And I just began growing. But I was just a lonely Christian all by myself. I didn't have anybody. And I cried out to God again. I said, Lord, I need brothers. I need accountability. I need help. I can't do this alone. And God, by his will, he led me to an encounter with a young man by the name of Juan Alvarez. He told me that his church was having revival. I ended up going to his church. I went there to the Door Christian Fellowship Church, one of our churches there in Austin, Texas. Amen. That next day was another Easter Sunday, 2 years later. Amen. And I was feeling a little bit lonely. And so I told myself, well, I'm going to go out to the club and try and go and fornicate. I hadn't been living in sin and none of those things. I was living right. But that night I felt lonely. So I said, I'm going to the club. You're going to have moments in your Christianity when you get this bug where you want to sin. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? You want to sin yesterday, didn't you? Didn't you? Yeah, you did. I know. But so I said, well, I'm going to go to the club. That ain't nothing good happening in the club. I said, ain't nothing good happening in the club. I was going to fornicate. I went home, but the Holy Spirit was in my room. I didn't do anything. That next morning, I woke up again speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. And amen. It's just been a wonderful ride ever since. Can you say amen? There's so many parts to this. I can't get into all of it. Amen. But God delivered me from all of those things. Hallelujah. I've been married 22 years today. Today, 22 years. My wife and I will celebrate next week and the week after that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 4 wonderful kids. They serve God in the local church. They want to do the will of God for their own lives. Amen. I've been a pastor since 2006, ministered all over the world in many places, and God has done a wonderful, wonderful work through a simple, sinner, redeemed man like me, and the same is true for you. Let's put that PowerPoint on very quickly, if you would, very quickly. Just want to give you some pictures here. That's me. That's that cute baby up there. Amen. Isn't that a cute baby? You better say it's cute. Amen. Because that's me. Hallelujah. You know, there's some babies that are ugly. That's true. You thought it, but you just don't want to say it. Hey, that baby's ugly. No, that was me. I was clean and pure. No sinful thoughts. God had a plan, but the devil had a plan too. God has a plan for your children, but the devil has a plan for your children. Let's go to the next slide quickly. That's me. Amen. I was innocent, but living with many problems. I remember this exact moment. I was playing in my blocks. CPS called me out of the classroom. They took me to the office. And they just began to ask me all these questions. And I lied every single time, every single time. Precious, innocent child, a innocent smile, but no one knew what he was dealing with. Let's go to the next slide quickly. I began showing, you know, academics and sports and all these qualities at a very young age, but still going through difficulty, problems at home. Let's go to the next slide there. Began running hurdles in high school. Got a scholarship, University of Texas at Austin. I still have some different, you know, records and different things from different events. Let's go to the next slide there. That's me back in 2000, I think, right there. That's me and my older brother right here. We were in the club. I had gotten saved. I had gotten saved. See, people can look at that picture and say, you ain't saved. I had repented. I had gotten saved, but God was working in me. How many understand that? Amen. This brother right now, he's also a pastor. We're both pastors now. Amen. Hallelujah. Me and my sister, me and my younger brother. Let's go to the next slide. My mother, amen, she had colon cancer. Well, what made you interested in becoming a Christian? You know, you were Muslim and you were raised in that. Why did you switch? I said, two particular reasons. One, God delivered my soul, but the other, God healed my body. And he taught me about healing. My mother had colon cancer. My uncle, who's a pastor, he said, we're going to pray for your mother that God can heal her body. And I sat on the wall, and I said, God can heal people? In Islam, there's no talk of healing. There's no supernatural dynamics in that way. And so and from that moment, I said, God can heal people? So when I'm in college, I thought I had caught some kind of a neuro disease because I was sleeping around so much. Amen. And so I had this cough for about a month and a half. And I was just coughing. And that cough would not go away. I went to a church. We were doing a recording label. I was in a part of a gospel choir. We were doing some recording labels. And our manager was, what do you call those people that groom? They try to groom. This particular manager was trying to groom all of the males inside of the gospel choir, and long story short, I'm there in that particular church, and a lady gave a testimony about God healing a tumor in her breast. And if you believe that God can heal you, then come on up, and we're going to pray for you. And I said, well, maybe God can take this cough away from me. I was in a gospel choir, but still didn't really understand about all the dynamics. I kind of got out of my seat back where you are, and I kind of came up to the front. They laid hands on me, and I fell to the ground, and that cough went away immediately. It was a month and a half cough, and I said, oh, my God, there's something to this God of the Bible that God is able to heal. Let's go to the next slide there. This is when I was believing the lie. This is the Twin Towers there in New York. Amen. This is when the particular young man wanted to marry me. I thought I was on top of the world. I was going for Broadway and modeling and all these particular things. And let's go to the next slide. This particular guy right here, he wanted to marry me. Let's go to the next slide. God canceled all of that, but look what the Lord has done. Can you say amen? Let's go to the next slide. Amen. And this is the blessing, amen, of God restoring peace to a family. Hallelujah. Let's go to the next slide. This is the most current picture, one of the most current pictures of my wife, my children. Hallelujah. God is moving powerfully in their lives. Let's go to the next slide. Let's keep going. Let's just kind of go through very quickly. Cedar Park, Texas, we began pastoring. This is Costa Rica, our first missionary endeavor. You can just kind of run through these pictures here. Souls getting saved, third pioneering endeavor there in Bryan, Texas. We launched our first church there. We sent a church. Raising up disciples. Let's go to the next one. We began to be missionaries in Honduras. We nationalized the church there in less than 2 years. Look what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. Let's go to the next slide. Evangelistic campaigns. I've been able to preach in many places, big stages, little stages, big churches, small churches. It's still the same gospel, can you say, man? Been able to preach in many, many, many places. God is healing sick bodies. He's doing all kind of miracles. People are getting delivered in all places. God is truly bringing revival. Hallelujah. And God is doing revival in this place too. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's keep going quickly through these as fast as we can, and then we'll stop toward the end. All kind of healings. Tumors have been dissolved. shoulders healed. Amen. Hallelujah. All kind of things. Hallelujah. Just bear with me. We're almost done. Amen. You take a long. Just hold on. Amen. Powerful revival taking place in different churches, and I'm able to witness all of this. All right, right here. That looks familiar, doesn't it? That looks familiar, doesn't it? Y'all recognize that right there? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go to the next slide. Oh, man, wait a minute. Let's go to the next slide. Hold it right there. Amen. Let's go to the next slide. All right, hold it right there. Now, this is what I want to tell you. Everybody has their hands raised. They got smiles on their faces. But in your mind, you're dealing with things. I sat in pews. And I know people who sit in pews and they're going through things and nobody knows what they're going through. Their battles, their struggles, their temptations, whatever. Nobody knows suicidal thoughts. Nobody knows. And just by looking at that picture, you say, man, that's a healthy church. Those are some healthy people, but there are some things on the inside that many times we still need help with. Can you say amen? And God is able to help you tonight. God will deliver you tonight. He'll heal you tonight. But more than that, he wants you to share your real story with people. And there's shame and there's silence and there's intimidation and there's all kinds of things. There's embarrassment. People will start treating you differently. They say, ooh, you used to do that? They'll treat you differently. You know, I'm not in a popularity contest. Amen. I want people to make heaven. And I want people to be delivered, can you say, man? And when you are real with people, they'll be real with you. And so now I have full liberty right now to call up every prostitute. Come on out of your seat. Come on. Not just. Come on, you're prostituting yourself. Come on up. No. Is it, that's me, Pastor. No, don't come up right now. Don't come up right now. Have every liberty, amen. You're fornicating, you need to stop, amen. You're adulterating, you need to stop, amen. You're lusting, you need to stop. You're stealing, you need to stop. You're backbiting, you need to stop. You're being hateful, you need to stop. You're racist, you need to stop. Can you say amen? You have no love, you need to stop. Can you say amen? Now, let's bow our heads tonight. Thank God for his spirit. So much to say. I left so much out, but we have to close. Get down to real business. The reason why we have church, the Bible says that as we see the day approaching, the day of the Lord approaching, that we should all the more congregate. We need to spur one another on, encourage one another to continue in the Lord, worship together with your brothers, be accountable with your brothers, get encouragement in the house of God, be fed the word of God. We have evangelistic campaigns. Invite someone to basically say the same things we've been hearing, amen, but maybe from a different point of view. And there's an aim to stir the heart of the hearer, that there could be a stirring of a turning of a heart back to God fully and completely. See, our world is likened to the times of Laodicea or the church of Laodicea, where people are lukewarm. They're neither cold, they're not hot, but they're lukewarm. Amen. They have a form of religion. They're not in relation with God. And these times, we want to stir this church and stir you, that what God is doing in you, it can flow out of you and touch those around you in your community, your family, your friends, your loved ones. And so you're here tonight. And we are so grateful that you came. Amen. I'm visiting, amen. But I echo what the pastor would speak tonight. We're thankful that you've chosen to come. God drew you by his spirit because he wants to forgive you of your sins. Every person is guilty before God. But God did not send his son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. But the condemnation is already because he's come. But they don't want to come to the light because their deeds are dark. But God wants to forgive. He wants to save. God's not angry with you, but your sin separates you from him. And tonight he says you can be reconciled unto him. Repent from dead works and believe the gospel that Jesus was crucified. His blood was spilled. He was buried and he rose from the dead with all power and all authority, breaking curses and forgiving our sins. And God wants to touch your life tonight. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. You're here tonight. You say, you know what, Pastor, Evangelist, you know what? I want that prayer. Would you pray with me tonight? I'm not right with God, but I want to turn my heart to God. I want to be reconciled with my God tonight. I want to turn my heart fully to him. I want to leave my sinful ways behind, and I need God to help me to walk with him day by day. Today, I want to reconcile. That's you. Just shoot your hand up and where I can see it. Lift up your hand where I can see it. We'll pray tonight. All of those that want repentance, that want prayer, I'd count it such a privilege to pray with you tonight. You're in this place. Amen. You serve God at one point, but you are away from God. Maybe you're compromising with sin, and you want to leave that tonight. You want to come back and reconcile. I would like to pray with you tonight. How many would there be all over this place? That's you tonight. Be honest with God. You know church, you know all these things, but yet you know in your spirit that you're kind of away and you want restoration and reconciliation. That's you. Lift up your hand. I want to pray with you tonight. Lift it up high where I can see it. Amen. Did you lift your hand, brother? You lifted your hand there? You want prayer. I want you to come right now. Just come and meet me at the altar. Come meet me at the altar. Your story is powerful. You're a Christian. Your story is powerful. It can help somebody. Everybody's not dealing with what you're dealing with, but somebody is. And God wants the redeemed to say so. You need to have a boldness in telling your story. Be wise and have wisdom on who and when to share. The Holy Spirit will lead you. But you need to begin committing your story and declaring the power of God through Jesus Christ. That's our challenge. And then we're going to come to the altar and ask the Lord tonight, amen, for healing and deliverance. Let's fill the altar tonight. We're going to sing a song of worship. And as you're coming, Lord, I'm turning my heart to you. Lord, I'm seeking you fully. Jesus, lover of my soul. Jesus, I will never let you go. You've taken me from the miry clay, set my feet upon the rock. Now I know I love you. I need you. You're my only hope. I'll never let you go. You're my Savior, my closest friend. I will worship you until the very end. Jesus, yeah. Lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go. Yeah. You've taken me from the miry clay, set my feet upon the rock. Now I know I love you. I need you. You're my only hope. I'll never let you go. Yeah. Savior, my closest friend. I will worship you until the very. I love you and I love you. Savior, you're my Savior, my closest friend. I will worship you into. I love you, yeah, and I love you. I need you. You're my only hope. I'll never let you. Yeah, my Savior, my closest friend. I will worship you till the end. Sing, I love you, and I need you, oh, you're my only hope, yeah, you're my Savior, oh, my closest friend, yeah, and I will, one more time, I love you. Let's just worship God. Keep playing in the background softly. Let's worship God. Come on. Let's worship God tonight. If you have an interpretation, go ahead and believe God. Hallelujah. Amen. Silence and shame and embarrassment and all these things overtake a mind. God set you free. He saved you. You're new. But somehow you're still silent. You don't have any boldness to talk about what God has done in your life. Hallelujah. We're going to pray in just a moment, but first, amen, maybe we prayed for deliverance last night, but we're going to pray for deliverance tonight for people's minds. God's going to touch your mind. He'll set your mind straight. I don't know. Maybe you have suicidal tendencies. Maybe you're a cutter. Maybe you're addicted to vices and different kinds of things. Sexual bondages. You might be dealing with all kinds of things, identity crisis. You're hiding things. No one knows. God wants to help you tonight. Amen. If you need prayer, we're going to believe God to help you. I'm not going to call out your particular sin, but you're going to bring that to God. Let's just make a line here if that's you tonight. If that's you, come on. We're going to believe God to help you tonight. Don't be afraid nor embarrassed. God will help. Amen. Come close. Come on. God's going to help. Hallelujah. God's going to help. Hallelujah. Ori kandare bibi bosi. Wonderful God. Oh, shiarabasandibi. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Father, we need deliverance tonight. Just pray these words with me. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Father, I need deliverance tonight. I'm calling on the God that I know, the God of deliverance. Touch my mind. I reject these unclean thoughts. Every unclean spirit be loosed from my life. With my free will, I close the door to this sin in my life. And then I want you to call it out, name it. I close the door to this particular sin in my life and call it out, whatever it might be. Jesus, Jesus, say that. Jesus, you rose from the dead with all power and all authority, And I'm asking you to break this curse in my life and to set me free in Jesus' name. Now, I'm going to pray for you tonight, Father. Hey, Sorekai. Listen right now. Listen right now, I command. Listen right now, I command. Listen right now. Say, my daughter, even my deliverance is complete in your life, but I have called thee even now. Exercise your will, says the Lord thy God. I have shielded thee and I have kept thee. There's no longer need to worry nor to doubt. Your name indeed is written in the book of life. Your sins have been forgiven. Your destiny has now changed. A shift has occurred in your life. And know that I am the Lord thy God. I hold your hand. I'm holding your hand to full completion. The work that has begun in your life, it shall be fulfilled. Know that I, the Lord thy God, am working out even your destiny and the purpose for which I've saved thee, says the Lord thy God. Hold on, says the Lord thy God. I have great things in store for you. You shall smile. And even in that white dress that you want to smile in, says the Lord. Yay, kaya kara haya, hey, kara haya, hey, oh, ahala haya kaya, sheya sashe kaya, in Jesus' name, kara haya kaya haya. Remove all doubt and fear, Lord God, and exchange it for a heart of faith. In Jesus' name. Kele me kaya hai keya. Oh, konde ne kalashaya. Mito robosi. Say this, I declare healing on my body. Thank you, Jesus. And just as I'm certain that you rose from the dead to pay for my sin, I have access to healing. And I'm asking you right now, by the power of the resurrection, for full healing and mobility in my shoulders, in Jesus' name. Leke haya, obo koseke. Listen, right now I command. Yeah. Bondebe kaya haya kahai. Shoroko. Listen, right now. Not by power nor by might, but by your spirit. In Jesus' name. Now just move it. Now come back. Just move it. Just move it. Shela makanda rabakaya. Yay. Listen. Reya kaya kaya kaya. Father, by the blood. Father, by the blood of Jesus. Shoderia kaya. Touch it. I command every tormenting thing in every language that would come to her ear. It is now silenced by the blood of Jesus. My child, the Lord will say, even the reservation that has been in your heart, oh, it has not been a vocal one, but yet I shall remove it, says the Lord thy God. I put a certainty now in your spirit. You understand and know that I'm the Lord thy God, and I indeed have purpose even for this time. And you shall understand and know the Lord thy God, and even his voice, to be able to discern. There's no more doubt or confusion. You shall be able to discern between his will and what is not his will. May. All reservations are now removed, says the Lord. Hold hands. Thank you for this union, God. Yay, yatanderebesi. In Jesus' name. Kealabakayerebesi. Korobosi. The Lord would say, my daughter, keep your hand in my hand, says the Lord thy God. Oh, keep your shield and your covering on your mind and on your heart. Oh, I have known thee and you have known me. But even closer in these coming days, you're going to need to know me and dig deeper into who I am, for there indeed are even wolves that would aim to sift you. But I have given you free warning, says the Lord thy God. Cover thyself, dig deep into me, keep your hand in my hand. I am committed to you, says the Lord thy God, and I shall come for thee, says the Lord thy God, and I am leading thee and I'm guiding thee in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, by the blood, all depression, all oppression is now removed. Oh, Lucian, right now I command a new peace and a new calm on this life by the blood of Jesus. Shadiara, and even the curses from generation, they shall not touch thee. And even those that have begun in your life, they shall be loose, says the Lord thy God. I'm even doing an inner work in your heart and in your spirit. I'm healing and I'm reconnecting things in your heart, says the Lord thy God, even your physical body. And you shall recover strength. Bye. Oh, yeah, Arahaya. And your prayer has been answered tonight, says the Lord thy God. Debi kori tanderebesi, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Move those. Do you notice any mobility change? Say, Jesus, I declare healing. I bind. The stiffness and the root cause, and I declare healing in my body, not by power nor by might, but by your spirit. Touch me, Father, in Jesus. Loose him right now, Father, by the blood. Loose it right now. We declare healing. Shay, Father, do your bid. Tashaka tababaya. Loose him right now, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Keep moving that. Move it. Hallelujah. Amen. So was there any associated pain there with your shoulders? Was there associated pain with your shoulder problem? Okay. You fell on your shoulders different times. Okay. So do you have pain right now? Slight right now. Did you notice any change after we prayed tonight? Not really. Okay. All right, say the blood of Jesus. Keep lifting. Everybody, extend your hands. Say the blood of Jesus set me free. Man can't do it, but you can. And you are my God, and I'm asking for deliverance and healing on my body. Loose it. Loose him right now, Father, by the blood. Shay, loose it. I command, loose it, Father, by the blood in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Try to move that again for me. Amen. Okay. Amen. Amen. It's about 40 years. Okay. Amen. About 4 weeks. All right. We'll keep praying for you. Okay. All right. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. Very quickly. I know time is done. Amen. But does anybody else need prayer for healing quickly in your bodies? All right. I want you to come. That's you. Amen. Let's just come very quickly. Amen. What kind of healing do you need? A cough. Okay. All right. Yes. Diverticulitis and what is it? Okay. All right. So we're going to believe God to move your bowels. Come on. Come on up. Anybody else need healing? Yes. What do you need prayer for? Eyes in your bodies. Okay. Pain and weakness. Okay. All the time. You got pain right now? Weakness in your body right now? All right. So we're going to pray. You need prayer too? What do you need prayer for? Constant pain. Okay. All right. You have pain right now? Not really. Comes and goes. So you'll let us know. Yeah, you're going to have to let us know. And this cough, we're going to get rid of it. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Say, God in heaven, you are all powerful. This sickness does not belong to me. I reject it right now. From my heart, I forgive those who have sinned against me. And I'm asking you, Lord, to bring healing to my body. Touch me by your spirit. You are supernatural, and I trust you right now in Jesus' name. Now we're going to pray. Extend your hands and pray for them. Loose it right now, Father, by the blood. Loose it right now, I command. Loose it right now, I command every tormenting spirit to leave her body. I'm a child of the Most High God, and I declare healing on this child of God. Say, Jesus, you're my Savior. You wash my sin. And you heal my body. Yay! Kaya Hayeke. Loose it, right? Loose it. Loose it. I bind no witchcraft. Yay! Kele Beko. In Jesus' name. Loose it right now. Loose it right now. I command you. This cough must go. Loose it. Loose it. Father, right now. In Jesus' name. Put your hand right there. Put both hands. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you notice any difference in your body? You had pain? You had pain in your body? Do you notice any difference in your body? You notice a little difference when we started praying? When I start praying for the other people? Uh-huh. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you start feeling, when I was praying for them earlier, you started feeling the change over there. Okay, so how do you feel right now in your body? You still have pain. Spirit of infirmity, come off of her life. Loose it right now. Come off of her life. Loose her right now. Loose it right now, we declare. Loose it right now. Come off of her life right now. The God who delivered me and set me free, I call on you right now. Loose her right now. Loose it. You unclean spirit, you come off of her life. Loose it right now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. What about now? What about now? It's a little less. Okay. All right. And what about you? What about your cough? It's something that comes and goes. Okay. All right. You let us know tomorrow? Okay. Well, you let us know. You can let us know some kind of way. Okay. All right. God bless you, sister. All right. Amen. Let's worship God. That's all I have tonight. We're going to believe God for great things tomorrow. Hallelujah.